Oh my goodness, wasn't that worship amazing?
Oh Lord, help me.
Yes,
I was like, ooh.
Yes, yes. So, my name is Pastor Emily, and I have...
And we're so glad you're well.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
we're so glad.
Yes, yes.
She's a COVID recoverer. So praise the Lord for that. We prayed and God delivered.
Definitely. And I wanted to share something about that because when I heard the name of our conference was Fearless, I thought perfect. Because every conversation I have had from March up until recently is laced with fear. Mm-hmm. What is going to happen? Is this going to... this virus, how long is it going to stay? Am I going to have a job? Are we going to get sick? And then, you know, have that partnered with the racial discord. It was a lot of fear-based conversations. And so I had to kind of find myself in a place of safe haven.
Absolutely.
But when I got struck with COVID, fear crippled me. And I honestly thought for a minute that I was just not going to.
Yeah, come on.
So, this is my first time home since March.
First time in a service since March.
Yes,
come on, ladies.
My first time in a service since March. And I thought I started writing letters to my children because I did not think I was going to make it.
Oh, Jesus, help us.
And so, had it not been for the fearless women in this room who believed even when I didn't believe, who trusted even when I didn't trust, who called me, who FaceTimed me, who prayed for me, prayed with me. See, we were called to be fearless. And maybe not so much for ourselves, but for those who need that spirit of fearlessness. So where are my fearless sisters? Yes! Well, I have the honor of introducing a very fearless sister. Some call her mom, but we love her, Pastor Kathy. Please give her a hand to Pastor Kathy.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So today, no, it's okay. I'm good. I don't need the podium. Amanda, I'm good. Okay, praise the Lord. So I'm sitting over here during the panel today. Some of you that were here last year know these are my same Christmas pajamas, and I haven't had them on in a year, so praise the Lord. But I was sitting over there during the panel, and I was thinking, oh, you know, it's pajama night, blah, blah, blah. Am I really going to wear my pajamas? I'm like, no. I like my pink scarf. I'm rocking that. I got my little feather earrings on, praise the Lord. And thank you, baby. I know, it's so strong. Got my little feather earrings on like I'm good, and I heard the Lord say, I want you to put your Christmas pajamas on. I don't want to. I'm like, are you joking? Like, I didn't think it was done in a year. I want you to put your Christmas pajamas on. And then he said a very unique and strange thing to me. He said, I want you to preach barefooted tonight. I was like, okay, I'm hearing wrong. I got a pea in my ear or something. I got some kind of lodge, a piece of candy, a piece of gum. And so I sat over there, not once, not twice, not three, four, five times the Lord said, I want you to take your shoes off and preach barefooted. Have no idea what that means. Just going to be obedient to the Lord. So tonight, what I want to do is I want us to examine the life of one of the greats in the Bible, right? I feel like sometimes if we can look at somebody else's life and realize that they started fearlessly, and the next thing you know, they're fearful. And then they turn around from that and they become fearless again. Maybe sometimes we can see our own self in that. Because I have a feeling that in the seasons of our life, sometimes we can move from being fearful to fearless and back to fearful and back to fear. Sometimes all in the same day. Come on, ladies. Sometimes all in the same day. And you know, sometimes as Christians, we can say, you know what? Maybe I don't have a really good relationship with the Lord, because if I did, I certainly would not be fearful. So something must be wrong with me. Can I tell you that the enemy of your soul is constantly pulling us into a place where we're being pushed and pushed and pushed to get back up into our faith pocket with the Lord, right? Because it grows. Our faith grows and it grows. So I want us to look tonight at the life of Elijah. Now, when we look at Elijah and Elisha, let me give you a little school teaching tip. How do I remember what one is what one? Or actually, we pick alphabetically. Elijah has the J and Elisha has a S. And so J comes before S, and there you go. I'd love to tell you I had some big theological epiphany about that. I just really look at it alphabetically. Right? Did that help somebody? Have you ever gotten confused? So now you know, J before S. So Father, tonight we just thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you spoke into this conference long before we even knew that 2020 would have all the challenges that it does. Could any one of us have imagined? No, Lord, but you. You knew that we would be here tonight. You knew exactly what each one of us would need to hear. And so, Father, as we look at the life of this great man of God, may we find some piece of this that really resonates with us, some piece that will give us courage or change something. Give us hope, God. Pastor was preaching on encouragement last Sunday. Pastor Paul on Wednesday night. God, give us some encouragement right here. That we, when we find ourselves in a place of being fearful, it doesn't mean that we are not your children. It just means we need a little help. And so, Father, we thank you that you are the help giver. You're a way maker. You put us on a path towards wholeness, and we thank you for that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So what I want to do tonight, something really new for me, never preached without shoes on and never preached this way. I'm going to be preaching out of four chapters, and I felt like you wouldn't be so happy on a Friday night for me to read all four chapters. So I opted not to read all four chapters. But I'm going to do a storytelling with you out of 1 Kings 16 through 19. So on another day, you write that down in your book, and you go back and read it. It's a fascinating, fabulously built story with, I hope, some truth in it. And I want to be honest about some of the components of it. So I want you tonight to you know, we can hear stories in the Bible over and over again. They become familiar to us. Like, Noah. Boat, big boat, big thing. Like it wasn't some little tiny little ship that he, big thing that God asked Noah to do. Sometimes it's in the small things and sometimes it's the big, but we can get so familiar with the story. So I want you tonight to put your left brain side to sleep. Where's my Shelley Renee? I'm going to put my left brain side to sleep. And I'm asking you to embrace your right brain side, right? And I'm asking you to put yourself in the story. Like as I've been, you know, preparing and studying and working through this over the last 4 or 5 weeks, the more I lean into the story, the more the story has depth within me. So as we do the story, I want you to put yourself in the court of the story. Be a participant in the story, okay? So we're going to pick up the story with King Ahab, who is one of the kings of Israel. And the Bible says that he did more detestable things in the eyes of the Lord than anybody else. Now, how many of you know right up front, that's a bad person? Like when the Bible announces that you've done more than anybody else to anger the Lord, you're having a difficult day. And so he not only is in this place where the Bible says he has angered the Lord more than any other king, he happens to put himself into a place, a political marriage, which the Jews were not supposed to do, a political marriage with a Phoenician princess. Now, you know her as Jezebel. I'm going to refer to as Queen Jezzy. Okay? So when I say Queen Jezzy, you know I'm talking about Jezebel. So he ends up marrying Queen Jezzy, right? And she leads, he's already in hot water. He has not been being righteous before the Lord and taking the children of Israel and leading them in a path of righteousness before the Lord. He's not doing any of that stuff. And then he goes and he does exactly what the Lord says you're not going to do. He marries somebody outside of the faith, Queen Jezzy. Now, I will tell you, the more I studied about her life, you know, she's a bad little person. We'll talk about her in just a minute. But the more I studied her life, she was raised as a temple prophetess. So while we know that she is a wicked, wicked woman, and when we say the spirit of Jezebel, sometimes we get that, you know, that's the manipulation, control, all that stuff, because that's what we see in the book of 1 Kings about her. But she was a very studious, religious woman. She was only with the wrong God. She's worshiping like she was there every day in the temple prophesying for the wrong God. But she was passionate. How many of you know you can be passionate about things and be passionate about something wrong? Right? So she brings to the marriage this passion for Baal and for Asherah. And so not only is King Ahab having a really bad day, he's now in a really bad marriage with a woman that's pressing Baal and Asherah down his throat. And then God got really mad. And so the Lord's like, you know what? Let me call onto the scene one of my prophets. Oh, we need a prophetic voice in the land this day. Oh, we need a prophetic voice speaking into our times right now. He's called a prophet up and he said, go tell the king that for the next 3 years, there'll be no rain, no dew, except for the sound of your voice. 3 years. Now, I want you to lean into the story. 3 years, no rain, no dew. No rain, not one drop. I get frustrated when we go 2 weeks without rain, let alone 3 years. Think about how long 3 years is. So it's a long, long time that there's going to be a drought, and the drought's going to lead to a famine. So God in his sweetness sends Elijah. He goes and tells King Ahab, and then God knows you can't stay here. So he takes him eastward. Now, east in the Bible means that you're walking towards God. If you see somebody in the Bible that's walking west, they're walking away from God. So God draws him down an eastward path and plops Elijah's little self down by the brook. And so Elijah's like, you know what? I hate it. Y'all ain't getting no water, no dew, because I'm over here by the brook because God's put me over here in a place of water. Oh, God leading us into a place of water. And not only is he sitting by the brook, he got ravens. Birds, I'm saying birds, that twice a day are bringing him bread and meat. Not once, but twice a day. So listen, he's got the not the get out of jail free card, he's got the get out of work free card. He ain't having to prophesy, he's not having to get up and go find food. I mean, like, come on. Like, just drinking from the stream of the Lord, getting fed twice a day. The birds are bringing you the meat and the bread. Sweet life. Until one day the brook dries up. What? Like, Lord, what's going on here? How many of you know that sometimes the Lord has to let a brook dry up so he can get you up moving? Sometimes when he's been giving you water, you're getting fed and watered. Sometimes he knows we can get lazy right in that spot. And the Lord's like, no, I got a bigger purpose for you. Just because you delivered one prophetic word doesn't mean you're off the hook, bud. I need you to stand up. I got purpose in this. So all of a sudden, the source of the water dries up. And Elijah's like, oh, okay. So then he tells, I need you to go down to, there's a little widow. And she's going to take care of you. So he goes and he's like, you know, hey, I'm Elijah. You know, it's not on my name card, but I'm really him. And can you get me something to eat? She's like, are you joking? I have enough oil and enough flour for me and my son, and then we're all going to die. Now, if you want to stay right here with us, you can die too. Or you can go find yourself somewhere else. And you know, Elijah speaks into that. The man of God comes on the scene and he speaks into that. And all of a sudden, miraculously, there begins to be an abundance of flour, oil, provision, right? So everything's going along great. All of a sudden, her son gets sick. And the son proceeds to die. And she's like, could you not have killed somebody else's son? I've been taking care of you, brother. And now my son's dead. And you know the story. Elijah picks the child up, takes him upstairs to his room, and lays down on the top of his body. Not once. Not twice, three times he's laying on him saying, God, come on, God. He's breathing into that child. And all of a sudden, bam, child's up and awake. Now, I don't know about you, that's pretty good stuff in the story. Like, some of y'all should have been, like, When's the last time you saw somebody be raised from the dead? Is anybody other than me? Like, I'm waiting on that. I pray for that sometimes. Of course, I heard Sandra Kennedy say one day, some of y'all that are waiting on somebody to get raised from the dead, if you saw it, wouldn't be none of y'all to go and tell. Like, you'd fall right dead out right there. And so, but I've been waiting on, like, so Elijah seeing all this stuff. Like, he has spoken and there's no rain. He's been fed by ravens. He's drunk water. He's gone and had the flour and the oil. And then a child raised from the dead. I'm like, but boy's seeing miracles. And then the Lord said, okay, 3 years, drought's over. I need you to go and confront Ahab. Great, no problem. Let me get up. I'll go confront him. So he's walking along the path, and Obadiah. Pastor Kathy, is that like Obadiah in the Bible? Yep, comrades. So he meets Obadiah, and he's like, look, good. I need you to go and tell King Ahab I need a meeting. Obadiah's like, bro, what's up with you? Have you not heard that Queen Jezi has been killing your prophets? You want me to go over there and tell him you need a meeting? How about you go? Because you're going to send me, and then he's going to kill me, and you're still going to be alive. Like, what is up with you? And Elijah's like, okay, I'll go and do this. But anyway, so King Ahab gets drawn out. He comes to the meeting, right? And he looks up, and he sees Elijah coming, and he's like, huh. Ahab's got a little sassy self to him. He sees Elijah coming, huh, the troublemaker comes. King James would say, the troublemaker cometh, right? And Elijah's like, Elijah's got a little sassy self on him too. He's like, no, I'm not the troublemaker. You are the troublemaker. You and Queen Jezi have brought the children of Israel into a place of duplicity. And God will no longer tolerate duplicity. And so he says to King Ahab, he's like, look, God's about to show y'all that he is in fact God. So I want you to draw all the children of Israel. I want you to call them because we're about to have a little contest. Bring them all together and bring the 450 prophets of Baal. 450. Okay, come on now. Bring the 450 prophets of Baal and bring the 400 prophets of Asherah. Now do the quick math. 850 men coming. 850 prophets coming and all the children of Israel. And Elijah stands up and verbally whoops their tails. He's like, excuse me. How long are you going to walk in two different opinions? Speaking of the children of Israel, how long are you going to walk in two different opinions? How long are you going to say that God is God and Baal is Baal? If God is God, then let God be God to you. But if Baal is God, then let him be God. And sometimes that's the way we see the world. It's okay to be a Christian on this day, but it's okay to be in the world on this day. We can be holy when we're supposed to be holy, but all the world looks good. I get to do what I want to over here, but I'm still not going to give up on God. I think there's a little church in the book of Revelation where God's like, you either be hot or cold, but don't you be lukewarm. So Elijah's like, if God is God, let him be God to you. Quit being in a place of duplicity. Oh, we need to hear that in our world today. There's so many Christians that don't understand the joy of walking in holiness. And we so easily get caught over into a place where we let the world transition us. And God's rising up voices around that says, if God is God in your life, let God be God. But if you're going to be a worldly Christian, get over there and be the best one you can be. But don't be in two places. Don't act like you're in two places. Don't say out your mouth that you love God and act like this over here when none of the church folk are seeing you. Oh, Pastor Kathy, don't talk about that. So anyway, Elijah says, look, this is what we're going to do. Because y'all need to figure out that God is God. So we'll have a little contest. So he says, I want you to prepare a sacrifice. He says to all the little guys, the little prophets of Baal and Asherah, we're going to prepare a sacrifice. We're going to take two bulls. We're going to build an altar. And then we're going to let your God and my God, we're going to see which one can call down fire out of heaven. Right? And so here are the prophets of Baal. Now, you got 850 men trying to work together. That's an anomaly in itself. Some of y'all didn't get that. 850 men trying to get ready to do a sacrifice. So they start. It's early in the morning. It's about 9 o'clock. So they sacrifice the bull, right? And they start doing their stuff. 3 hours later, they start their praying. 3 hours. Now, some of us can't pray 10 minutes. 3 hours. They're praying. They're praying. They're calling fire out of heaven. They're calling up to their God, Baal. They're calling it out. And about noon, Elijah, the spirit of the devil came on him. And he got a sarcastic, you know, sarcasm is the language of the devil. So a little sassy self comes on Elijah and he's like, hey, this is in your Bible. Hey, depends on which translation you read. Hey, can you tell me where your God is? Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's relieving himself. Maybe he doesn't hear well. How about maybe he's asleep and you go wake him up? Well, that infuriated them. So they spent the next 6 hours really dancing and shouting and cutting themselves. Right? Not one stitch of fire out of heaven. And Elijah's like, okay, boys, it's 6 o'clock. It's time for the sacrifice to happen. Like, I'm about to show you that God is God. I'm about to show you. So Elijah very methodically, in their eyesight, begins to build an altar. And he takes 12 stones. That's a very important part of this story. 12 is the number of government. It's also an indication that the 12 tribes of Israel, he wants to remind the children of Israel, you came from legacy. You might be acting like you are double-minded. You might be acting like you all worldly, but you came from the legacy of God, and you better get back over there. Sometimes we got to remind our children. Sometimes we got to say to our children, you came from a legacy of God. We got to call them in. We got to stand for what's right. Not in a condemning way, but we stand and we say, the Spirit of the Lord, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you came from that good seed and you're going to get back to that seed. And so he picks up 12 stones and he builds an altar. And it was really cool because he let the little prophets of Baal pick one of the bulls. Wouldn't that have been cool? Like, there's, oh no, well, the reason ours didn't catch on fire is because you picked the best bull. He's like, you pick first. So he takes the leftover bull, sacrifices it, builds his altar, builds a trench. Okay, all right, so go with me. You're standing there. All the children of Israel are there. You're building a trench. Been no rain, no dew for 3 years. No rain, no dew. Build an altar, put the wood, put stones, put the bull on there. And then he says to his prophets, go and gather water and pour. Where are we supposed to get that? Let me tell you what. When God wants to display his bigness and his grandeur, he makes water come out of wherever he wants to make it come out of. So not once and not twice, but 3 times they poured that over. 5.5 gallons, actually. Over there, over and over until it filled up the trench. And then Elijah lifts up his hands. And says, God of heaven, show yourself to these people. Show them that you alone are God. And bam, the whole thing catches fire. Not just the bull, not just the wood, the stones. Somebody go back to your science class. What kind of heat does it take to melt a stone? Hot, really hot. Not only are the stones consumed, but the vapor around the stones are consumed. And all the water is consumed. And you know what the people did? They all fell flat on their face and said, God is God. sometimes when we're in a place where we find ourselves tending to be more fearful, God shows up and does something so miraculous in front of us that all we can say is, God is God. You heard some amazing testimonies today of God being God. Yes, we're in COVID. Yeah. But we have seen the miraculous happen in our church. You might be sitting out there thinking, well, 2020 happened. It was supposed to be the year of miracles. It was supposed to be miracles. And let me tell you the greatest miracle ever, salvation. I want to see somebody raised from the dead. Pastor Gilbert looked at me one day and he said, you ever seen anybody get saved, Kathy? And I said, yes, sir. He said, you've seen somebody raised from the dead. Around the world, people are getting saved by the millions. In the middle of a pandemic, God is showing himself as God and pulling people that are on this side of the fence trying to live, thinking they might be, pull them right over here. Come on and be holy as I am holy. Pulling them right. He's pulling his church because judgment will begin at the house of the Lord. He's pulling his church. He's pulling his people and saying, I need you to get rid of some of that worldly stuff. I need you to get back over here on this side and live a life of holiness. That's not a very pretty word, is it? It's a beautiful word in the sight of the Lord. Beautiful. So all of a sudden, this whole thing comes down, and it's all happened, and it's all great. And so the next part of the Bible, I told you I'm going to be transparent. The next part of the story deals with, Elijah saying to Ahab, listen, you need to get something to eat and drink, and here's the hand of the fist and the storm. Do I understand that? No, so I'm not going to preach on it. I'm afraid of going to hell. So let me just speak on something I got revelation on. But that's an interesting part of the story. If God gives you some revelation on that, I'd love to have coffee with you. Because I've read it for 5 or 6 weeks now over and over. My Lord, what's that mean? What's that mean, Lord? I just want to share something awesome. What's that mean? Nothing. So I'm like, okay, let me fast forward. So anyway, he does say to King Ahab, listen, you better get up because the rain's coming. And so God sustains. He actually encourages Elijah, and Elijah outruns the chariot. Now, come on, ladies, work with me. Maybe you're a fast runner. I are not. I don't care how says it would really take a miracle from God Almighty if I'm going to run all the way back to Jezreel and I'm going to beat the chariot of the king. Right. Thank you so much. Y'all being real with me. Right. Am I the only slow runner in the room? I mean, I know that eliminates Des. She's a good runner. But I'm like, Lord, I'm too heavy and too old. You'd have to really do a miracle in my life for me to get back. So Ahab approaches Jesse, and he's like, hey, I need to share some news with you. Elijah did this most miraculous thing, and he killed all your prophets. Now, first of all, why was she not there? She getting a mani-pedi? What's she doing? Why is she not over there? Because all of her prophets are there. And he says, Elijah has done this and he killed all your prophets. He did not say one thing about what God had done. Oh, you missed that. You missed that. He comes in and tells about the miracle, only he gives Elijah the credit. He missed it. He saw God do something miraculous and gave the credit to a man. Oh, God, help us in this hour, ladies, because we got miracles all around. God, help us that when we see God do the miraculous, we know exactly where to put the credit. My God, but God, right? So how about this part of the story? So Jesse steps up and says to the little messenger, I need you to go tell Elijah that if by this time tomorrow I don't kill him, may the gods do to me an even worse. Now, when's the last time the devil wanted to send fury or speak the spirit of death to you? When's the last time he gave you a 24-hour notice? 24-hour notice. Now, that would have been a great time, right? Elijah's seen God do all these miracles. Wouldn't that have been a great time to say, show me where Jezzy is? Because she's about to leave here right now. I don't need a 24-hour head notice. She's about to die. Now, he's seen all these miraculous things, right? And instead of stepping in with his authority and what he had seen God do, the spirit of fear grabbed him. You ever been there? One day in your life, you've seen God do miraculous. Next thing you know, you got your tail tucked between your legs. And so Elijah hightails it out. Even with a 24-hour notice, the spirit of fear, he went from being fearless to being fearful. And he starts a journey. And he sits down under the tree. Okay, God, let's just be real. Let's be real. I need you to kill me. I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do it. I need you to just kill me. Now, this is the same. He's praying, right? He just called fire out of heaven. The same God. He's the same man praying. Now he's sitting there praying for God to kill him, and he ain't hearing nothing. You ever been in that place? I have. I sat in a chair in my house one day and said, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm not going to take you back to my personal testimony. Many of you heard it. I'm not going to take you there again. Sat in my chair and said, God, I don't want to live anymore. I need you to take me home. But as Elijah's sitting under the tree, and he's saying, just kill me. Like, I can't do this. This is the most fearful place where you're willing to say, that voice is much bigger than your voice ever was to me. That voice had power and authority. That voice that said I was going to die in 24 hours is bigger. He admits that voice is bigger than your voice is. Sometime when the spirit of fear is coming at you, ladies, you got to say, your voice does mean nothing to me. You are not the boss of me. You are not the boss of me. You hush it up. You hush it up. But in that moment of being fearful, he recognized that that voice had more powerful than God. So disillusioned. So out of sorts. But have you ever been there? I have. And, you know, it says that the angel of the Lord came to him not once but twice. I believe that's the pre-incarnate Christ that came to minister to him. He's like, get up from this place. When I was sitting in that chair in my office that day, crying my eyes out, I'm like, I'm done. Can you just come and get me? And the Lord said, get up. I'm not done with you yet. I'm not done with you yet. Was about 12 years ago. He says to Elijah, the angel of the Lord comes to sustain him. God's still not speaking. He just sends a different voice. Now, I would love to tell you that when I got up out of the chair that day, my life changed. It did not. Not right then. When Elijah stood up from that tree, you would think, well, the man of God has now accepted the help of the Lord, and praise the Lord, all will be good and well. Oh, no, no, no. He started on a 40-day journey, a 40-day journey, because the angel of the Lord had brought him food and water not once, not twice. His spirit had started getting up, and so the Lord sends him on a 40-day journey with no food and no water. Now, how many of you know that's a that's a journey? I don't know if you know that, but we can only live 3 to 7 days without water. 3 days if you're sick, 7 days if you're a really healthy person. 40 days with no food and no water. He sends him into the wilderness. And a lot, can you imagine, the longer you're by yourself, even though the angel of the Lord came, he's still in this place of being fearful and broken. He's out in the wilderness, no food, no God, no voice, no water, no nothing. I'm walking and walking 40 days, 40 nights, and all of a sudden he looks up and sees the mountain of the Lord, Moses. He looks up and sees the mountain of the Lord. It's a great place if you're in a fearful journey in your life to find the mountain of the Lord and head there. even though you're in a place of being fearful, head to the mountain of the Lord, which absolutely happened to find itself in Judah. And what does Judah speak of? Praise. Right? So all of a sudden, Elijah looks up and he sees Mount Sinai. Even though he's had no food, he's had no water, and he's in that place of complete brokenness, and he's like, I don't, maybe if I hide from God, let me just hide. And so he finds a cave, and he hides from God. How many of you know you can't hide from God? How many of you know you can't hide from God? So Elijah's in this place of being filled with fear. I think that's more than fearful. Filled to capacity. And he's overnight, he's sitting in this cave. God, where are you? Where are you, God? And God comes to him and says to him, I want you to come up out of this place of hiding. I want you to come up out of this place of hiding. You tried to get me to kill you underneath the tree. And I didn't do that because I had a place for you to die 3,000 years down the road at the end of the book of Revelation. And so even though you're asking me for that, I'm not going to grant you that. And here you are in this cave, in a place of fear, but I have purpose in you. I have destiny in you. You cannot fulfill my purpose nor my destiny hiding in fear in the cave. And God comes to him not in a condescending voice. Elijah, why are you here? Sometimes, ladies, in our brokenness and we're just in a place where all we know to do is hide. We don't want anybody in church to know. We don't want anybody to see. All we know to do is to retreat and go into a place where we can hide from God, hide from our feelings, hide from those that will help us. If we just go into a place and hide, things will get better. Let me tell you, they don't get better. He's in the cave hiding. God says, why are you here? Well, you know, sometimes when we're waiting for God to help us in our brokenness and our fearful, but we need God to speak to us in this booming, loud voice. And so, God, there are big things that begin to happen. The mountain, Mount Sinai, rocks begin to fly off. Big things. But Elijah didn't see God in that. And then there's an earthquake, like everything's shaking. The mountain's shaking, the cave's shaking, Elijah's shaking. Elijah didn't see God in that. God was not in that. Then there's this huge fire. And God was not in that either. But isn't it interesting that those three elements were a part of the big miracle he saw when he was standing with the children of Israel? I would imagine when they all fell face down and hit the ground, it was like an earthquake. He had seen stones evaporated. He had seen fire. But now he's in this place. And sometimes when we're so broken, we need God to do something big so we can believe again. And yet what he responded to was the small whisper of God. Can I tell you that's the same Hebrew word that we see in the Garden of Eden? It is actually the Hebrew word for pneuma, or the Holy Spirit. So when God comes to him a second time and says, Elijah, why are you here? Elijah steps forward. I wonder if I can trust God again. Wonder if I can step forward, because God's saying, come on, son. I have purpose in you. I have destiny in you. Some of you tonight have been in a cave for a long time. You've been in a cave, and God's saying, come on, come on, come on, babies. Come on, come out of that cave. But God, you know, you can't ask me to do that big thing. you can't, because I can't do that. And we start backing up into the cave, and God's like, come on. I want you to anoint kings. I want you to lay your hand on the next generation, another prophet that's going to come along. I want you to step up into that. And we're like, no, but I can't anoint a king. I don't know how to work with you. I don't know what to do. And God's saying, do you trust me? Will you be available? Will you be available? I can guarantee you, including myself, I'm not the only one that has felt like in 2020 I've been in a cave. But I want you to know tonight, we're going to walk out of that cave. We're walking out of that cave because God, there are souls to be saved. There is legacy. There are 12 stones laying around you. There's legacy in your children. There's legacy in your life. There are big things for you to do for the kingdom of God. What he's looking for is for you to say, God, I'll get out of the cave and I am available. God, if you can use me. I just wonder tonight if any of you are available to God, no matter how big it is. Because you can't be available to God and be in the cave too. You cannot. Well, Pastor Kathy, I don't feel like I'm in a fearful place. Do you feel like you're really fulfilling the call and the purpose of God for your life? Then maybe you don't know what the cave looks like. Sometimes the enemy doesn't want you to know that you're in a cave. He doesn't want you to know, but these big things are happening, loud things are going on, and there's chaos and a pandemic. And then the still small voice of God comes. Because you see, rocks splitting don't live inside you. An earthquake doesn't live inside you. This big consuming fire, but the still small voice, when God spoke to Adam, which really, people say, you know, well, God's walking with Adam in the cool of the night. It was actually the Hebrew rendering of that is the small wind of God. I believe that the Holy Spirit entered the garden with Adam to accompany him, just like the Holy Spirit comes to us. Yes, did Adam mess up? Absolutely. But God's like, you don't get to quit here, son. I have purpose for you. There are consequences. You can't come back into the garden because I'm afraid you'll eat at the tree. You got to exit the garden, bro. But I have not changed my mind about you. There's destiny. I want to call it out of you tonight. I want some of you to ask the Lord, what does my cave look like? Because I guarantee you all of our caves are different. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to speak into you again and say, don't be afraid of the big thing. I want you to move from a place of being fearless to fearful and back to being fearless again. The Holy Spirit will enable each one of us. All he needs is your availability. If you've been hiding in a cave, can you repent tonight? Can you just say, God, would you forgive me for allowing the voice of the enemy to be louder than your voice? Can you do that? I've been in a cave. I want you to say, God, I want your voice, even though it's still and small. That's the voice I want. I give you permission to come and speak again. Draw me out into the deep waters where the great unknown. See, some of you are sitting there right now saying, no. I like my little comfortable life. I like the brook, and I like the ravens. And God's like, I'm about to dry your brook up. I'm about to dry your brook up because I need you to get up from this place and embrace the destiny that God has for you. See, maybe your cave is, I'm too old. I battle with that sometimes. I'm too old. Well, my health is not good. I have a really crappy marriage. God can't use me out of that. I looked at pornography last night. God can't use me out of that. Repent and get over it. Get up out of the cave. There are people dying and going to hell, and God has need of you. God has need of you. Would you offer yourself to the Lord tonight, no matter what he asks? See, I like to teach people to say they're available to God with no buts. Right? I need you to be able to say with an open and a pure heart, God, if you'll help me get out that cave, call me again. Call me again. Call me again. Let me get up out of that cave. And I'm going to stand right here. And wherever you send me and whatever you do, where you send the wind, where it wants to go. But God, if you'll send me, if you'll use me, if you want to use me, I'm available. I'm available. Amen.
Broken as my life may be, Jesus, sacrifice. Oh, use me how you want to, God. Have your throne within my heart.
With our hands lifted all over this place tonight, Lord, we say we're available. We repent, Lord, of being in any kind of cave, any kind of place. God, tonight we say, wherever you want to use me, God, however you want to use me, Lord, it's just a yes. It's our honor to say yes to you. Can you open your mouth tonight and say, it's my honor to say yes to you, God, without fear. Lord, we are saying we're available. I hear you calling tonight, Lord. I want to speak that over you. If you're in a place tonight, we're just going to wait on the Lord for a minute. If you're in a place tonight where you know really you need to get up out of the cave and you need to say to the Lord, I surrender totally. I just want you to come to the front for a few minutes and just come stand up here in the presence of the Lord. It's thick up here. Just come. Come. I want to lay my hands on you for just a second. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Come on, get up out of the cave, ladies. Some of you are still laying yourself in that cave. Lord, we're available. We thank you, Lord, that you don't hold us to our past. We thank you that you don't hold us to our even yesterday. God, up out of the cave right now. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Whew. Thank you, Lord. There you go. Get it. Get it. There you go. There you go. Let go. Let go. Woo. There you go. Let go, Tony. We're up out of the cave. We're coming up, Lord. We've got a purpose. There's purpose and destiny, Lord. Enlarge that, Father. Sa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hands open wide. Whatever you want to do, God. There you go. Sing it out to the Lord. Here I am, Lord. Shifting. Don't be afraid. Don't sit in the cave. Walk out to the front of the cave. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, God. Lord, we cry out tonight for our children, too. There's legacy in them. There's legacy. God, call them out of the cave. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, I am it's my joy to say yes to you. It's my honor to say yes, whatever it looks like. My response is yes. My response is all that I am, all that I am. Oh, get the sound.
I just thank you that your presence is so tangible and thick in here tonight. God, I thank you for the life that you sacrificed so that we may live, Lord God. God, I thank you that you never intended brokenness for us. You always call us to be whole. That you always call us to be sure. That you always call us to be confident in who you are. That you always gave us a firm foundation to stand on. God, you never intended your people to walk around fearful and scared. God, you've always designed us to be in communion with you. God, and I pray that even our fear of disappointing you wouldn't hold us back. God, that you are pleased with us. God, that you're so faithful in our brokenness to put the pieces back where they belong. Less of me and more of you. I thank you for your holiness. God, I thank you for designing us for things that we could never do alone. God, we always run back to you. God, I thank you for your word that says to pick up your cross daily, because we know that surrender is not just a one-time thing, it's continual. So God, I thank you that we made steps tonight to come out of that cave, but God, I pray that we would make the same decision tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. Lord God, I pray that we hear you so clearly. Lord God, that there would be clarity. And when we can't hear your voice, God, I pray that we would run to your word, because we know that that is you living, active, and speaking to us all the time. God, I pray that we would go back to those basics of just knowing your character and knowing who you are and having faith in that, God. God, you are so great. Just pray for a fresh anointing and a fresh spirit to rest over this house, God. God, that you would use us simply because we believe in who you are. God, I pray that we show love to others in the way that you would have us love. And I thank you for being faithful, Jesus. God, I thank you that you want to give us the desires of our heart. You never wish to withhold good things from us. God, I thank you that we would continually get glimpses of the life that you intended for us to live, and that we would make choices to live in that, Jesus. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving us. Praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.